me this. Aaron, you make popular YouTube videos, you've got millions of hits, and you don't know the basics about instrumentalism, realism, constructive empiricism, selectionism, constraint. You don't know the
philosophy.
So if you're not interested in philosophy, why are you talking about metaphysics? Why are you talking about the existence of God? Why are you dismissing all of philosophy of science?
Specified scientific evidence.
And by the way, listen, here's the thing. If you understood the philosophy of science, you wouldn't be making the statements you're making now. That's all I'm saying.
And all I'm saying is,
you're saying that,
so who's Aaron Roth?
Right. So the thing is, look, Aaron Roth is, I would say, the most popular internet personality when it comes to debating on the topic of evolution.
Fair
right?
Enough. Yep.
So he'll have, you know, he's got so many videos on it. He's,
yeah.
You know, even if you look up a niche topic like, you know, the evolution of morality, right? You're going to get Aaron Roth's videos, right? So scientifically, when it comes to, you know, the understanding of biological evolution and this type of stuff, he's not dumb, right? He's actually a very intelligent guy, although he looks like a crazy biker, yeah? He's actually quite intelligent.
Yeah.
And if you actually watch his content in terms of understanding what's happening within evolutionary biology,
yeah.
I would say he has a very good understanding. Now, in terms of as a popular figure, he's got something like 40 million hits on his YouTube page, 200,000 subscribers. He's shared, you know, like a panel with Richard Dawkins, Mantel Hunty. So he's up there.
Yeah.
And he's obviously quite important. Now, when I initially started, you know, putting out some lectures and talks about evolution, one of them, one of the talks was actually put online. Well, sorry, I was going to give a talk at Coventry University, and famous atheist guy comments a lot on our stuff.
I was there with you then.
Do you remember? So he basically was like, you know, he's trying to get me to basically have a live hangout with Aaron Roth and have this discussion. And I absolutely hate live hangouts. Boring. Yeah, just two people. You only see someone's nostrils, and they're like, "I disagree with you."
But you went to see. You actually went to see him in person.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, you know, basically, I went to Texas, and you know, we went to go see him, and you know, we had a debate, and you know, initially, he made a refutation of the content of the video that I put up, and you know, after that refutation, I was like, okay, so we need to have a debate. And so we had a debate, and, you know, then he came to the park, and we bumped into him.
Yeah.
The thing is, look, he's an important guy, and he's an intelligent guy. He's not a dumb guy. But the reason why he's making the mistakes he is, and the reason why I disagree with him strongly, is because he doesn't have an understanding of the philosophy.
Sure. Before we go, now, you mentioned mistakes. We mentioned mistakes. He made mistakes on the day. Give us a summary on what the most fundamental mistake he made on the day was that we just watched in the clip. What we're getting at here? Because remember, he's been watched and followed by hundreds of thousands of people online.
Sure.
Many people, his followers, may be watching this right now.
Yeah.
They may be a bit confused. He's seen as an authority on the subject, yet in the park that day, he didn't seem to hold his own. He seemed to be all over the place. He seems to be confused on certain points. You caught him out and corrected him on several things. So what was the fundamental mistake that he made?
Okay, so first, before you criticize him, let's look at the positive side,
yeah? Yeah. He's been quite positive already.
Yeah, so he admits when he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right? So for example, when I say, okay, what about this? He's like, well, I don't really care about that. I don't really know.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, like, you know, pretend to know, and he doesn't give this view. He's quite honest like that, which is, let's praise
it's commendable. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, where we disagree, and where he needs to actually find out the fundamentals of the philosophy of science is he believes in Darwinian evolution.
Sure.
Okay, if he calls it evolution, fine. We'll stick to what he's saying. Evolution. He believes in that. Okay, he doesn't like the word belief. He accepts that that is the way things are, right? Now, he's got lots and lots of videos on this. He's written about this as well. He's got a book on this as well. He told me by email he's working on another book as well. So, look, he clearly understands this particular field.
Yeah.
He does understand it. However, for him to make claims about truth, for him to make epistemic claims, you have already crossed the boundary of biology into metaphysics, into philosophy.
Yes.
You've just done that.
Yeah.
You've just done that. Now, he doesn't want to, you can see in the video, he doesn't really care,
yeah,
right? I don't care what you're talking about, you know, realism, this, that. I don't care about philosophy. He just cares about science. That's the problem. Because for him to believe that, okay, this is true,
yeah,
that Darwin is, evolution is true,
yeah,
in terms of natural selection being the primary, in terms of all this stuff, if he believes that to be true,
yeah,
then he's basically making a claim about the way that the world actually is. Now, sure, within the philosophy of science, there are two broad camps.
Hmm.
The first camp is that of realism. Now, realism simply says this: scientific theories actually represent the way the world actually is.
Okay.
That's what scientific theories, sure, do. So a scientific theory, when it says, this is the actual structure of the world, this is the actual entities in the world, these are actual processes in the world, they are referring to what's really out there.
Sure.
Instrumentalism, which is the other camp, says we can't say that. We can't say a theory actually represents the way the world is.
Okay.
We have to be agnostic about that. Scientific theories are instrumentally useful.
Right.
They make predictions, they are confirmed, and over time they get revised and changed and discarded, and you get new paradigms and so on.
Sure.
So we can't say it's true. We can say maybe, maybe not. We're, yeah, agnostic about it, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Now that's instrumentalism. He didn't know the difference between the two.
Hmm.
Now that's a big problem, because compared to, if you imagine the amount of attraction he has,
yeah,
when it comes to speaking about the topic of evolution, the debates, yeah, he does, the talks he does, the books he's written, then you'd expect him to know these fundamentals.
Yes.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, not only does he doesn't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. You can see the videos. Yeah. I don't really care. And that's the biggest blunder, because when I actually explained to him the two views, briefly.
But tell us why he should care.
Okay, right? Why he should care is because he's making truth claims. He believes, he wants people to accept that the tree of life,
yep,
not the Darwinian mechanism,
yeah,
is really out there. That's what
it's
works.
It's the reality.
Is that's reality.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, he is a scientific realist.
Realist, yes.
However, when I explain the two views to him,
yeah,
which is, you know, instrumentalism means we accept what science says about observables, we're not unobservables, and, you know, I explained this, he said, I said, which one are you? And he said, instrumental. I mean, you know, I think I'm an instrumentalist, something like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. That means all your videos in which you're talking about evolution, this, and, you know, natural selection that did this, or all these types of things, right? You're basically pushing out realism. Yeah, when I explained the two views, you said, oh, I think I'm an instrumentalist.
So what you're saying, what we're saying here is that he is conveniently crossing the borders from realism to instrumentalism.
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's basically making it, and this is why the video was, I think, quite embarrassing for,
yeah,
him, if he understood what actually happened, because maybe he doesn't really care. But from a philosophical point of view,
yeah,
he made a huge blunder, because he's pushing out the realist narrative,
yeah,
without realizing he is in the realist camp.
Yeah.
When it came to, when I explained the two views, he said, I'm an instrumentalist.
Yeah.
So he just completely undermined all of his previous stuff.
Right. Which is problematic.
It's
obviously
hugely problematic. And the funny thing is,
yeah,
he didn't really care. He's like, I don't really care.
Which is a bigger problem, because he's an authority,
yeah, he's an
amongst
authority,
many people that are watching his videos online. Now, let me ask you another question based on what just happened, and him as an individual and his views. He's an atheist, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. He believes in the Darwinian mechanism as a fact.
Yeah.
Right. He wants to push this view.
Yeah.
Right. Why is it time and time again we see individuals like Aaron Ra pushing this view as if it's an absolute fact, when he, being an expert on the topic, I'm sure he knows that there's differences of opinion amongst the experts, X, Y, and Z. So why is this happening over and over again? Why, are they not informed? Or are they informed and just keeping that aside and just deliberately pushing this view?
So I'm not a mind reader.
Yeah.
I can't tell if what his intentions are, what the intentions of, you know, a particular person is.
Yeah.
My hunch is,
yeah,
he's just totally ignorant of the philosophy.
Sure.
I actually don't think that he is one of those type of people that is deliberately trying to push out something that he knows to be false.
Sure.
I don't think
so
he,
you're saying he doesn't know for when it comes to the experts in the field.
When it comes to what science can achieve,
yeah,
can it achieve truth with a capital T?
Yeah.
he's ignorant.
No, that's fair. That's you clarified already. But I'm asking specifically when it comes to what the experts say within the field of science, evolutionary sciences, and the different views, and things aren't as crystal clear as they make it out to be on a popular level.
Yeah.
Is he aware of that? Do you know?
Or? He's not aware of that, I believe, because when it comes to issues of the philosophy of biology in particular, not just general points about science, philosophy of science, he also seems to be ignorant of that.
Right.
Right. And for example, when it comes to major figures in the philosophy of biology, like Eliot Sober, I remember when I used his name in the debate, he first thought, okay, this guy's more believer, so obviously he's going to say that. I said, no, actually, he's an atheist. But thing is, look, Eliot Sober's like a very big figure in the philosophy of biology. And he is somebody that if you know even, say, a little bit about philosophy of biology, you have to have known about him, because philosophy of biology hasn't been around that long. It's a relatively new field. And he is one of the main guys that's written the papers, whose main textbook is used at universities for this particular topic. But he didn't know.
Right.
So, you know, he's not malicious. He's not like, you know, let me push out this narrative that I know is wrong. Yeah. You know, I just think he doesn't know.
Yeah.
But he should know, because... Yeah. The guy's like, you know, huge online, and he should know these things.
Yeah, so that hits me from my...
And it's not unfair, by the way, for me to expect him to know those things.
Yeah, no, of course.
And maybe a general person...
Most of us ignorant of a lot of things, right?
Yeah, yeah. We don't know. But look, say, like Mohsin sitting there playing on his phone, I wouldn't expect Mohsin, right there, to, you know the nuances of theoretical conservatism in science, right? And how that impacts... You know, innovation.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but I see. I wouldn't be surprised
if he's, you know,
I see the point you're making.
If he's listening to us right now, but listen, I would expect him, on the minimum, as a media guy, to know the difference between a floppy disk and a CD drive.
Right.
I'd expect him to know that. Right. I'm not going to question him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah, but I would expect him to know that. Why? Because media is his thing.
Yeah.
Now, if he was some young guy who knows nothing about media and was born after the year 2000, right? The CD drive, floppy drive, what the heck is that? Yeah. That's different. Aaron is too big of a figure within the atheist community to be ignorant
on this particular subject as well.
Absolutely. Because
that seems to be the main trend of his channel. Absolutely. That seems to be specialization, right? If I'm not mistaken.
No, it is. Yeah.
So, I mean,
by the way, that is, if you watch his videos, that's what he speaks about.
Yeah. So to wrap it up, for Aaron and for those people that may have been following him and seeing him as that ultimate authority, what other references could you give them to individuals they can read up, where they can get more, you know, more of a holistic sum of information from?
What I would point at is that, look, pick up a general book on the philosophy of biology. There isn't actually many.
Yeah.
So you'll come across John Dupree, Eliot Sober, Peter Godfrey Smith, you know, a few people, and because it's a relatively new field, you pick it up, you'll start to realize, okay, you've got this, you've got that. I mean, a good book is Evidence and Evolution by Eliot Sober. That's a very good one.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that. Now, you may pick up the book and you may be like, oh my God, it's all this, like, it's really confusing, or what's this or what's that?
Yeah.
So you may get put off. But what I would say is, on the minimum, when you even attempt to read that stuff, the first thing you're going to realize is, hang on, this is a lot more complicated than the simplistic general way that I've been taught.
Yeah.
This is a lot more damn complicated, and there's a lot more things going on. There's ad hoc, you know, rationalizations, there's assumptions, there's sub-assumptions, there's counter evidence, there's this, oh my God, there's so much going on, there's so much discussion. Okay, so it's clearly not as simple as, hey, look, we got this, that thing evolved. Yeah. Oh yeah, this natural selection explains that, peppered moth, boom.
Yeah.
Right? They understand, no.
There's a lot more going on. So just to wrap up, one final point I want you to quickly touch on. Everyone watching this, we've done two episodes now on the whole sort of topic of evolution. They're watching you, they're looking at a bearded guy, they know this guy's a Muslim, right?
Yeah.
They're probably interested. Fine, you know your stuff, you've done your research. But as a Muslim, how do you reconcile evolution with Islam, right? Now, if you could, I know it's a big topic, maybe you could do a separate video, but just if you were to summarize this in an elevator pitch, in a 30-second, 1-minute summary, how would you do that? Because some, that may be a barrier for some people.
Look, I'll put it this way. There's no need for reconciliation.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's not generally understood. Why is that the case? So we have independent reasons why we believe the Quran is the word of God.
Yeah.
We have independent reasons for why we believe in God. We have this belief in the fitrah, the natural state that human beings created in, that they don't even need evidence for God.
Yeah.
God, even though there is evidence, they don't even need that because it's just within them.
Mm.
Now, you get that very, very powerful base from which you have the spring of the Islamic belief system.
Yeah.
So you have that. On the other end, you get science, which came from the Muslim world,
yes,
which has been used by Muslims throughout the centuries as a way of, you know, the way some Islamic scholars have described it is you have the world,
yeah,
which is the book of God, and you have the Quran, which is the book of God, right? So you get a book which is has closed covers, right? It has its covers that we read, which is the Quran, but the actual word of God is also the world, because God said, be and it is, as it says in the Quran, the world was. So, you know, God created everything. And, you know, the natural processes which exist, you know, the different systems that we have, you know, all of these things are complementary.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of, okay, there's something in science, how do you reconcile? Well, if you understand the philosophy of science, we know that it doesn't give you absolute certainty.
Yeah.
It's an attempt to try and apply reason to the world and try and come to
understanding
it the best way we can, but it can always be revised.
Yeah.
And you know, the Quran is making claims which are certain, and evolutionary biology is making claims which are temporal, which can change. So for example, you know, if we go by a purely mechanistic, naturalistic understanding of the natural selection, then the words of Richard Dawkins, we will accept that the highest rationale for our existence is to pass on our genes.
Sure.
Right? That's the highest rationale. But Islam says no. Mm. Islam says the highest rationale is to worship the creator who created you and gave you reason to recognize him.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, there's clearly, you know, they don't have the same weight. Science as an epistemic, in terms of its epistemic weight, doesn't have the same epistemic weight as the Quran. So we can accept anything in science as valid science, but we don't have to accept it to be literally true. There may be things in the Quran which completely contradict if we take science to be literally true.
Yeah.
So here's a powerful example, right?
Yeah.
From a scientific perspective, the virgin birth makes no sense.
Yes.
Absolutely no sense, right? But
maybe the virgin birth of Jesus,
peace be upon him, right? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
However, from a Islamic point of view, it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Because God created the world and God can change anything at any given moment. So, you know, God can create using a mother and a father, without a mother and father, or just a mother, right? God can do whatever, right? It's nothing difficult for God. So science is giving you, obviously, this can't happen, this can't happen. But okay, we have reasons to believe this is true.
Yes.
We have reasons to trust that science is a good thing, and we should actually acknowledge that this is also a something which gives us knowledge.
Yes.
If there are things which are in conflict, we don't have to do like a reconciliation. Let's try and superimpose the science and the Quran, or the Quran and the science. We can just say, we'll accept it as valid, we'll accept it as scientifically the best explanation we have naturalistically, but we don't have to accept it to be literally true. And we work within that paradigm, we contribute. Because look, at the end of the day, biologists, right? I'd like to end upon this, because it's a very important point. Evolutionary biologists aren't sitting around in labs and just going like, you know, rubbing their hands. How do we get those religious people to disbelieve in God?
Yeah. They don't have the time for
How do we theologically confuse them? Yeah? They're not doing that. I mean, I've been to scientific labs. Yeah. I've met scientists, right? They are not doing that.
They're interested in doing the science, basically.
They're interested in not just doing the science. They're interested in saving lives.
Yes.
They're interested in finding the next penicillin, right? They're interested in longevity of life, the comfort of life. They're interested in those types of things.
Yeah.
They may be believers, maybe theists, maybe Jewish people, maybe Christian people, Sikh people, whatever, right?
Yeah.
They're different. They're not like all scientists are like atheistic. That doesn't exist either, right? They're just people trying to contribute to make the world a better place. However, the biological world has become a battlefield between theists and atheists, and this leads to atheism, that doesn't lead to atheism, and this is this, and this is this, and social Darwinism. It shouldn't be that way. And that's why I believe Muslims shouldn't be going around saying, let's challenge Darwinism, replace it with intelligent design, let's do this, let's do this. I think it's just superfluous. Yeah? Yeah. There's no need for that. Let the scientists focus on what they should be doing, saving lives, and don't use the fact that atheists use biological evolution to try and disprove God or you know, say religion is false or this and that, to now join them in the battlefield. Yeah?
Yeah,
it's like, this is a scientific lab, yeah, and you're a scientist doing your work, and I go in here and, you know, I start a fight with you, and we just start like having this atheist debate in this science lab. No, it doesn't belong in the science lab.
Yeah.
Do the science, have the theological discussions outside, and realize biology is biology, theology is theology, right? So don't cross over the two.
Yeah.
When you cross over the two, you get poisonous biryani. Yeah? Yeah, you get something ridiculous. It's like, I don't know, Weetabix with kidney beans. Yeah, yeah? It doesn't make any sense.
Biryani being a rice dish eaten by many Pakistanis.
If you do not know what biryani
is, I'm sure everyone knows what biryani means. On the top point of biryani, let's wrap this up. Maybe we'll do future shows going into, again, like we said, specific points. Thank you for coming on, bro. And everyone watching, make sure to subscribe and click the notification bell. Also, if you go to my description box, we have Sabur Ahmed's channel, Darwinian Delusions, listed there. Also, not forgetting our beloved cameraman today, Dawa Digital. His channel is linked in the description too, if you guys want to watch content more related to Islam, so on and so forth. So, till next time, take care. See you later.